50% of the eligible Māori population have had their first dose of the COVID vaccine, compared with 75% of the general population. The inequity has been acknowledged by the government and work is underway to help close the gap, but is it enough and is it too late? To discuss this, we're joined by our Māori News Director, Marnie Dunlop. Kia ora, Marnie.
Morena, morena.
Now, what is the government doing here to try and improve this?
Well, this week, the Associate Health Minister, Penny Henare, and Māori Development Minister, Willie Jackson, announced extra funding of $38 million to go towards resourcing Māori providers to roll out vaccinations, saying that these providers know the communities best, they know how to get to their people. This is also on top of that $23 million announced halfway through the lockdown. Of course, this money is welcomed by providers, many of which are whānau ora organisations and navigators. But I guess the question is here, is why is it after the fact? And after recognising that these are the people that know their community, what you will see is that in places where there aren't Māori health providers, the numbers are considerably lower to places that don't have them. And this week, both the COVID response minister, Chris Hipkins, and Penny Henare acknowledged that these numbers are just not good enough. This is Henare telling Checkpoint's Lisa Owen, quite frankly, that it isn't, and accepting the risks for Māori moving Auckland into level three.
And I'll be brutally upfront about that. We know that the rates are lagging behind. We've seen huge uptake over the past 6 weeks, unsurprisingly, because of Delta and the alert levels that we've found ourselves. But, you know, we're encouraged that the numbers are picking up and we're going to do everything we can to make sure they continue to rise.
But you would accept, would you, that it's a calculated risk that is a higher risk for Māori given their low vaccination rates?
Yes, I accept that.
So the government could argue that it did what it could to get ahead of what could be a slow uptake. But at every step of the initial strategy, Māori seemed to be, and it is seen to be, that they weren't at the forefront. The age rollout, especially as an example, was identified early on as something that would not cater to Māori. It wasn't changed as a result.
Okay. Why do you think Māori are not being vaccinated at the same rate?
So look, there's a range of reasons here. Misinformation and vaccine hesitancy are among them, but you have to look more broadly at that. These factors stem from a long history of health inequity. When you look at the health system, these inequities, and just as of the last week, we've seen two major research papers talking about that. Māori are dying at a much faster rate than non-Māori. The current system is one that many Māori have mistrust in. Vaccine hesitancy is stemmed from that. Even look at the most recent immunisation stats for our babies at an all-time low of 54% in June this year. And again, this has been acknowledged by the government with the pending implementation of a Māori Health Authority to address these issues. And very shortly, we're going to hear an announcement on who will be leading that and what the mandate that they will have. So do stay tuned for that. But back to COVID. Looking at the no booking policy as well, which was initiated by an array of providers even prior to lockdown. I was speaking to one up north who were pretty much rolling that out anyway. They know that a booking process wasn't going to cater to Māori because it creates another barrier. So many providers recognise how vulnerable their people were and that the less barriers, the better. And recently, obviously, we've seen the government roll that out more broadly to everyone, that you don't have to book, that you can roll up. Also, Māori live in isolated parts of the country or in poverty, don't have equal access to vaccine centres or transport. And another element is also, as you well know, the grandstanding of the mobile vaccinations and the hype around the naming and launching of these buses with the vote on the Prime Minister's Facebook page. But in the first week of lockdown, we saw Kahungunu Whānau Services based in Wellington. They started their own mobile service to reach vulnerable communities in emergency and transitional housing. Even up the Whanganui River, Māori health providers were planning on doing this in about June. We've also seen, though, that once that money has been dropped and rolled out to these providers, they have been able to roll that infrastructure, because that was something that was said early on by Penny Henare, saying we needed to build that infrastructure. But once they've been given that money, that infrastructure is created, so why wasn't that done more earlier?
And the impact, as we heard a little bit earlier from Penny Henare about this move from 4 to 3 for Māori.
Yeah, well, yesterday in the House, the Māori Party co-leader Debbie Ngarewa Packer put this to the COVID response minister, Chris Hipkins, whether the government should have waited for the level change at the risk of it impacting Māori adversely.
Does he accept, considering the nature of the outbreak and that Māori have the lowest vaccination rates of any group, that the decision to move Auckland to level 3 presents far greater risks for Māori that the much safer approach would have been to wait until Māori vaccination rates were much higher?
Mr. Speaker, lower vaccination rates amongst Māori are a concern, and they do leave Māori at greater risk of an adverse outcome from COVID-19.
So another acknowledgement there by Chris Hipkins. You know, the only death of this Delta outbreak has been Māori. The impact has already been seen in the active infections. As of yesterday, 32% were Māori that were infected with active infections of COVID, 47% of Pacifica also. But you remember, with Pacifica, this encompasses an array of ethnicities. You've got Niuean, Tongan, Samoan, etc. And so when we're hearing of the suburbs of interest, they're predominantly Māori and Pacifica areas. We aren't hearing about more affluent suburbs being impacted. And so every day in the last 10 days, Māori have represented in the highest rates of new infections. Māori Development Minister Willie Jackson has also said he conceded the rollout could have been better and has taken some responsibility for this. But, he says, now there's always a but, he asks now, when are Māori going to front up and take responsibility for this? What we're also hearing and seeing on social media is many advocates encouraging whānau who are hesitant to engage in these hard conversations about why people might not wanting to get vaccinated. So, you know, there's that huge drive in the community for that as well. But if the government concedes and it says it's doing all it can, where does that shift the accountability once they've dropped all this money to these providers who've had to scramble to respond? You know, you can just look at the example in Whakatiwai, Te Korowai Hauora or Hauraki. They stepped up and running a testing station in its community, which was incredibly successful. And that goes in the same waka as many providers that have had to act in an emergency. You know, as I pointed out, we've seen Māori ministers taking responsibility for this huge gap. But last week in the 1pm presses, you know, it was Māori Language Week, we saw the Prime Minister and Dr Ashley Bloomfield stand in front of the week's neon sign emblem, donning the logoed mask and present these well-thought-out mihi. But when it comes to answering the harder questions pertaining to Māori infection rates and vaccination rates, we see them being evaded and we're not being provided with concrete answers.